Welcome to Faith and Science. I'm Dr. John Ashton. A few days ago, a friend was chatting to me and said that their child came home from school, actually a Christian school, and told them that they'd learned today that a meteorite had struck the earth and wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. And of course, this was taught in the science class as a scientific fact. And I think this is an example of how a lot of unproven information is being taught to our children as scientific facts. And of course, they then grow up and become teachers and teach their children. So let's have a look at this claim in more detail, because we have a lot of evidence that in actual fact that statement is not correct. So according to the theory, a meteorite hit the Mexico, the Yucatan Peninsula, in fact, about 65 million years ago, according to secular time, causing the extinction of the dinosaurs. It's called the Chicxulub impact idea, and of course it's very popular. But being popular doesn't mean that it's necessarily true or correct, and this is an important point. So the idea was that there was either a stony asteroid or comet that was somewhere between 10 to 80 kilometres in diameter, so quite a large object. The theory says that whatever this impact was, it threw out about 60 times its mass in pulverized rock into the atmosphere. The resulting dust blocked out the sun, causing global cooling effect that wiped out 50% of all life, including the dinosaurs. Now, this theory was actually proposed back in around 1980 by a geologist, Walter Alvarez, and his dad was actually had won the Nobel Prize in Physics and helped really publicise the theory because he was such a well-established scientist. So what the geologist, Walter Alvarez, had found was that a discovery of what he proposed was a worldwide layer of clay with a high iridium compound. Now, iridium is an element that seems to be associated with meteorite impacts. And so this was the idea that this iridium layer that is found in the clay, this element that's analysed and found in this clay layer, was the indicator that impact had actually occurred and had fitted this supposedly crater there, or the shape that you see in the Yucatan Peninsula there. So this thin layer is thought to be found in the rock layer that's characteristic of what they call the KPG, or formerly the KT, Cretaceous Tertiary boundary. And this seems, in terms of the geological fossil record, to coincide with the extinction of the dinosaurs. In other words, we find the dinosaur remains in fossils below this layer, but not above. But there's major problems with this statement. It was an interesting theory at the time. Of course, when we think of the 65 million year scenario, we've got to remember that this is in terms of the secular timescale. They ignore the fact that, for example, from our geographical research and measurements of erosion rates, the continents would erode away in less than 10 million years. The fact that we've discovered dinosaur soft tissue remains, including DNA, which is a very fragile molecule. So we found this. So all these things point to, hang on, the dinosaur remains can't be 65 million years old, nowhere near that. But nonetheless, this is because they're sort of in separate baskets, they seem to be just not connected. But the other thing is that, too, that this iridium layer is not actually really well defined. In fact, they're over currently about 100 known different iridium anomalies that have been discovered. And so we've got a bit of circular reasoning going on here, because how is the particular boundary for the dinosaur extinction defined? Well, it's defined as any rock layer with dinosaur remains or tracks in it must be below the boundary. So as you can see, it's just based on, you know, definitions. So one of the ironies of this claim is that at the actual impact site itself, and in some of the ejecta that's been analysed that they believe from this impact, there's hardly any iridium. So there's not much iridium around the actual site of the impact, and we'd expect to find a little bit. So there are quite a lot of problems with this theory, and these problems are actually recognised by secular scientists. As a matter of fact, there was a secular book, so it's not a Christian book, published called The Great Dinosaur Extinction Controversy. It was by Charles Officer and Jake Page. It was published by Addison Websley in New York in 1996, and it was actually reviewed in the top science journal, Science, just after it came out. And they actually exposed the way the media explanation for the dinosaur extinction actually became a new dogma that outstripped the evidence. So as we're pointing out, secular scientists say, well, hang on, let's have a look at this. We've got major problems with this theory, and yet what we find is now this theory is being taught in science classes in our schools as if it's a fact. And this is representative of a lot of science facts, particularly with regard to the history of our planet, the origin of life and so forth, that are being taught to our children as fact, but in actual fact, they're not backed by strong evidence. So one of the reasons that they proposed was that when you look at the geological record, it's spread over quite a period of time. And this is a long time in terms of the secular record. But if we take the biblical model, the Noah's flood model, then it fits quite well because these sedimentary deposits were obviously formed by Noah's flood. And I think this points again to a very important point. Today, we have so many different ideas being proposed. You know, one person thinks one thing, another person thinks another. There's massive amounts of disagreement in terms of, you know, politics, sociology, moral values, all these sort of things. We need an anchor. We need a guide. The Bible, which was inspired by the Creator himself, who created us, who created this amazing, you know, universe material system, actually gave us instructions. It gives us directions. And if we apply the principles of the Bible, the knowledge that is preserved in the Bible, it gives us a compass. It gives us direction. It gives us a basis on which we can find our decisions. And we're finding more and more, as we're delving into the evidence, where there's all these controversies in, you know, time, dates and ages and this sort of thing, time and time again, the Bible's being vindicated. When we look at these secular theories that are trying to disprove the Bible or discredit the Bible all the time, after a while, they themselves become disproved. And so that's just one of the reasons. The other thing is a very interesting thing. Light-sensitive species do survive. What about all the plants and everything that depend on light? If there was this massive darkness period that wiped out the dinosaurs, this light sensitivity, the fact that light-sensitive animals survived is a massive problem. Also, the extinctions don't correspond with the crater dates as well. And also, modern volcanic eruptions don't cause global extinction patterns, even if they cause a temperature drop there. So again, when we look at the breakdown, this proposed theory, it actually doesn't fit. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this iridium enrichment supposedly is the key proof of this meteorite impact. So I mentioned it's not clearly defined. And a scientist, Michael Ord, did quite a lot of research looking at this particular evidence. And while he says, yeah, we've got a lot of evidence that the largest iridium anomalies are caused by meteorites striking, this would have occurred also during the flood And this makes a lot of sense because the iridium deposits are in a clay layer, deposited by water. And so, again, we find this powerful evidence that fits the flood model. And there would have been volcanic eruptions at that time. There would have been meteor impacts at that time that would have produced these iridium. It's interesting, some data has come out as well, drill calls on the Chicxulub crater on the Yucatan Peninsula in southeast Mexico that actually don't support the idea that it's actually even an impact crater. So as we can see, as more and more research is being done, this is, you know, secular research out there. You know, all the secular theories for the extinction of the dinosaurs face numerous problems. For example, if an asteroid hit the Earth leading to a nuclear winter, how did the photosynthesis-dependent plants survive? Why did delicate bees and moths, or even sensitive amphibians such as frogs and salamanders survive? And if volcanic activity and toxic gases filled the Earth after the extinction event, such as with the volcanic or carbon dioxide theories for dinosaur extinction, then why did birds survive? Because birds have a unique, very efficient lung design that makes them very more vulnerable to toxic gases, you know, hence canaries in coal mines. Also, let's go back, the detection of soft tissue and DNA in fragile dinosaur fossils fits the young ages, not the millions of years. And it's interesting one of the other things that fascinates me is we look at the Chinese calendar sort of thing that we, a few years ago, had the Chinese Year of the Dragon. It's intriguing that the fact that the 11 of the 12 animals in the Chinese, New Year list are the ones that are alive and well today. The only one that seems to be missing is the dragon. So the animals are the rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, rooster, dog and pig. So here we say they're all real animals. So again, we have the biblical account of animals that were obviously like dinosaurs. We've got the Chinese records of giant dragon-type creatures. We've got the stories of, you know, St. George and the dragon and these sort of things. And so the flood model, with a few surviving that were later wiped out, just like we don't have, you know, lions and bears running around Palestine today, and the megafauna in Australia and so forth have been wiped out over time. This is an explanation for the dinosaurs as well, not 65 million years ago by a meteorite impact. And so we need to remember that a lot of the science that's being taught to our children, particularly the conflicts in the Bible, isn't based on actual sound scientific evidence. They're theories that have been put up by people, but they're not backed. The evidence that is strongly supported continues to support the biblical account of how we came to be here. So I'd like to encourage everyone, keep reading your Bible because it is the source of wisdom not only for life on earth here today, but also tells us about our loving Creator God that wants us to have an eternal relationship with Him and that He will be coming again, putting an end to evil and that we will be made alive with Him at that time when He recreates a new earth. And there's so much evidence for that too. Remember, if you've been enjoying this program, that if you Google 3abnaustralia.org.au and click on the radio button, you can look up these programs, past episodes, and other interesting programs in the television as well. And remember to mention these sites and these programs on your social media pages as well. I'm Dr. John Ashton. Have a great day.
You've been listening to a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.